It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, I really enjoy speaking about the Word of God. And right now, we've been studying through the book of Ephesians. In fact, we just got started. I've given a little introduction, and last time we talked about chapter 1, and I only got through a few words there. But God is so good to us and letting us see what He has for us as saved people and as unsaved people. He wants to save everybody in this world. And that's on my heart, that people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But of course, you as a saved person, you're on my heart as well, because God wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge that He has for you in the Word of God. And I thank God for the privilege of being able to share with you the Word of God. And right now, we're in the book of Ephesians. And I want to start once again with verse 1. Verse 1, Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Remember, Paul the apostle, he was born again on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus Christ there, and he was one who was called to be an apostle according to the verse that we just read, the first part of that verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not by his own will, not by Paul's own will, but by the will of God. And what does this mean? Well, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Now, he's writing to these people who were of the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, and he's writing to those saints. But notice also, it says which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's not only writing to the Jewish people who are at Ephesus, he's not only writing to those individuals who are present at Ephesus, but he's also writing to everyone, those people faithful in Christ Jesus, those people who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are now in Christ Jesus. They know Him as Lord and Savior. So what does that mean? Well, that means that he's not only writing to the church at Ephesus, but he's also writing to us. He's also writing to the saved people of this world to help us to know the things of God. Now, let me quickly add once again that Paul the Apostle was simply a penman. He was writing the things that God wanted written. In other words, he's writing the things that God knows that we need. And the Word of God, every word in the Word, every jot and tittle is the Word of God contained in the King James Bible. And so therefore, we need to look at it and we need to study it. And we realize that God has given us His book so that we can grow in His grace and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again in order to get the full picture of God, to get everything that God wants you to have. The first thing that God wants you to have, of course, is His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. And then you can grow in His grace and in His knowledge after you've trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Well, notice, I'm going to read that whole verse again now. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We are faithful once we're serving Him as His children, as the ones whom He has saved. And let me remind you that He's not only our Savior when we trust Him as our Savior, but He is our elder brother, according to the Word of God. Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? God Himself, Jesus Christ, we become His brother or sister in the Lord. He is our elder brother. And of course, God in heaven becomes our heavenly Father once we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's something to get excited about, because it's not simply trusting in a man. It's trusting in God, trusting in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, who came to this earth to help people know Him as Lord and Savior, to help people to know how to serve Him while on this earth. Well, notice verse 2 of Ephesians 1 now. He's talking to us today, and he's talking to those people back at Ephesus. And Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Lord, says, grace be to you. Grace, grace, God's grace. There is nothing higher, nothing better than the grace of God. Grace be to you and peace. Jesus Christ gives us peace that passes all understanding. And we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior, and he gives us the grace to live in this life, and he gives us peace that passes all understanding. Where does it come from? Grace to you and peace. Where does it come from? From God our Father, and notice, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look in the book of John, and we find out that God sent the Son into this world. He sent the Son, his only begotten Son, into the world that the world could be saved through him. And the verse says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. First, God sent the Son. And Jesus, in the book of John, kept telling those people that he came from heaven. He came from the Father. He knew the Father. And one day he was going to go back, and he did. He did go back to heaven. After he was crucified, buried, and resurrected, he went back to heaven. But notice, grace to you, and it comes from God our Father. That is our Father. Those who have trusted Jesus as Savior, from God our Father, and notice, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is first, we see here. God the Father, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary. And that's hard. That's really hard to comprehend, how that a father could offer his own son, his only begotten son, on the cross of Calvary. But I thank God that he did. He did that because he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. Now, this grace and peace comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bless God daily that he did send Jesus into this world to die for us and to raise from the dead. But we need to bless God. We need to praise God. We need to thank God daily. We need to be in an attitude of prayer constantly. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've made it possible for me to serve you in this life, in this world that I'm living in right now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary that you and I could actually be saying, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son to this world to die for me and to making it possible for me to serve you. Notice verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, it's just, it's just as if I've never sinned. It's as if I'm already in heaven. I'm already being blessed with the knowledge that one day I will be in heaven with Jesus. I will be in heaven with the Heavenly Father. But notice it says here, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's as if we're already in heaven. God has promised us eternal life, and that life came through Jesus Christ once we trusted him as our Savior. And we don't have to wait to get to heaven to be blessed, because we are blessed right now, not on our own, but in Christ. That verse says we are blessed in Christ, because he is the trailblazer. He is the one who has saved us. He is the one who will one day descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and he'll say, come up hither. Now, if you've been following along and you've listened to the study on the book of John that we've gone through, that I've gone through, and I pray that you've listened to that. If not, you can go to one of our websites and hear that. And you'll be given the address at the, as you listen to these programs, once again, you'll be given the address at the end of a program if you're listening to this on the radio or on the internet. But you can go there and you can listen to these programs once again. But in the book of John, it tells us that Mary went to the garden after the crucifixion of Christ, after his resurrection. And as she was there, she was looking because she knew and she had seen the empty tomb and she didn't know what had happened. She didn't know about him rising from the grave at that time, although he had been telling people. They didn't really realize what had happened. And she thought someone had stolen Christ's body. And she saw someone walking in the garden there, and she thought it was the gardener. And she said something to the effect, "Sir, if you know, if you tell me where you've taken him so that, you know, I can see him, I can see my Lord." And that gardener that she thought was the gardener was actually Jesus Christ. And he said, "Mary." And immediately the Bible tells us that Mary knew him. Immediately after he said her name, she knew who he was. I believe when he comes back in the clouds, when he says, "Come up hither." Now, I don't know how, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I believe he's going to call our name. I believe he's going to call my name personally, and I'm going to be with him. I'll see him right then. And I also believe that when a person who is saved, who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when they close their eyes in death, that is, if he doesn't come back first, but when that person closes their eyes in death. And I know that for the most part, we've all been around someone who has gone on, someone who has gone to be with the Lord. And I believe when that person has closed their eyes in death, when the breath of life has left, I believe that Jesus Christ has called their name. And it's the same as him saying, "Come up hither," because we go up. No matter if it's in the rapture of the church or no, if we close our eyes in death, we go up. We go up to be with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It's all of Christ. It's all of God. We have nothing to glory in except the cross. We have nothing to glory in except God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit. I thank God that the Holy Spirit indwells me. I'm a saved person. And the Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. In other words, when we get saved, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live with us right then. He's there and He's here right now. He lives with me. And can you imagine that? Having God Himself live within you. God is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And He's living within me. Right now, He doesn't force us to do anything, but He speaks to our heart because He's living with us and He helps us. Somebody says, "How can I live the Christian life?" Oh, you have all the answer right within you. You have the Holy Spirit, and He's the one who's able to guide you into all truth and to help you to understand that you are a Christian and that you do have eternal life. And no person, no man, no woman, boy or girl, the devil can't take eternal life from you. If that were possible, then God would not call it eternal life. He would say it was temporary. But God says we have eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right then, you don't have to wait to go to heaven to be saved. You're saved the very moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's just as if you're already in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I bless you today, Lord. I just ask you to have all the honor and glory. I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. And I pray for that individual listening right now. If they do not know you as Savior, may they ask you to come into the heart right now. And for that Christian, Lord, help that Christian to grow in your grace and in your knowledge.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.